So first, I want to thank you all for your patience and care as my family has been navigating some issues that required me to be away. And I especially want to thank the worship associates and the choir and the staff and the lay leaders the last few weeks and those from last week's lay-led service. I know I feel, you know, confident that I can leave town and you guys rock and roll and you're just great. And at the same time, I'm really glad to be home. So thank you for that. So fairly recently, my mother and I were sitting in her room in the nursing care unit where she stayed for about 5 weeks recovering from a broken hip. She fell on Valentine's Day and then needed surgery to repair the bones. My brother was reminding her that in fact her hip was not really the reason after all that we were moving her from independent living to assisted living, because she needs more support than just physical support. Her memory, and I hear resonance of this in our candles this morning, her memory is not what it once was in many respects. So we made the decision to relocate her. I have three brothers, and each of them called to say, well, good luck with that choice, Anne. I was her chosen, you know, decider. So we took the belongings that she loved so well that would fit into a fairly modest one-bedroom apartment, and we shipped the rest of her belongings, made of beloved things, made of time and memories, as all our beloved things are, from her more spacious two-bedroom unit where she's lived the last 15 years. She, of course, when I spoke to her, wanted to go home. She wanted to go there. Even though my mother has moved close to 24 times in her adult life, I would have thought she was used to some of that change. So I asked her as we were sitting, what are you most worried about? And she sort of looked off and she said, oh, not really much, but change. I just don't want to change. The next morning when I went to see her at breakfast, she had perked up quite a bit. And I thought, oh, this is good. She's gotten used to it. And she said, oh, no, I've changed my mind. I'm not going. I thought, wait. The other two women at the table looked at me like, oof, this is not going to go well. So I said, let's talk about it after breakfast. So she has moved, in fact, or more correctly, been moved, and she's adjusting. One of her friends, having come to visit the new apartment, said, aren't you excited? It's so sweet. And she said, I'm accepting, with a grimace. We are very fortunate, my family, that she has a safe place to move to. A safe place with good care, as I know that is not always the case, and certainly not always the case when change is so imminent. And I think she was caught, as we are all often caught, in a kind of quandary when it comes to change. We all know it happens despite our often earnest longing for the known and familiar to remain the same. In truth, we know that change happens every day. We don't always like it. I wonder what changes come to mind for you, what you may be experiencing now in your life, something small or large. I mentioned in the description for this service Heraclitus of Ephesus, who apparently originated the words about the river and not stepping in the same place twice. It's not the same river, and we're not the same person from moment to moment, let alone day to day or year to year. Even, I thought, departing the same bed every morning, landing our feet onto the same floor, in the same room, doesn't offer the same opportunity as the day before, right? Whatever has happened has left its imprint on us, even if only subtly, and we're changed. And the question is always how we greet it. If you had the chance to start again, which is in fact every waking moment, what songs might you sing to yourself? The Reverend Haley asked us earlier. What prayers would you let fall from your lips if you had the chance to start again? Which, yes, we do. Would they be sad songs or joyful? Would your prayers be petitions or praise? What blessings would you name and share as you see with new eyes the life that is always and already available? The idea of encompassing the loss that is partner to change as a blessing is a lovely thought, isn't it? Even as it may not always feel that way. I can assure you my mother was not singing songs of joy or letting prayers of praise fall from her lips, even amidst her good fortune. Build me that wall, why don't you, that fence that Oifi described earlier, like the one the carpenter was hired to build, the one that shelters us, we imagine, when we want to hold off change as long as possible. Build us something high and solid that offers us protection from anything new or unknown or uncomfortable or unwanted. Build me a wall. Does that sound familiar? We have spoken of resistance to change before. And we hear it around us in political life incessantly these days, being encouraged to hearken back to some former age of greatness that indeed was never great for all of us to begin with. That is what the proposed wall on our southern border represents, I think, a visible representation of intransigence, of unwillingness to imagine adaptive responses to new and growing needs. A bridge, the carpenter knew, was a more useful construction. The bridge that connects us to each other, to what is broken, or to what is new and unknown, even if unwanted, the bridge that allows us to journey over the obstacles instead of pretending we can avoid them, the structure that makes the journey, especially the hard journey, a bit easier on the feet. We know that our responses to the realities of change are varied. Sometimes we seek safety, the protections that are meant to shelter us, like my mother's. Other changes prompt us to challenge ourselves differently, perhaps with more risk, the boldness, the courage we spoke of earlier, stepping into a new job, maybe, or a new relationship, or a new kind of identity. I imagine that this next year is going to challenge us especially. Between now and next November, we will be bombarded with choices and changes. I was thinking of this congregation recently, how we have adjusted to change, and how we must continue to going forward if we're to see further into our fourth century. We have been thinking together sometimes about what that bridge might look like for us. So this may seem an odd question, but I wonder how many of you have seen my office. Raise your hand if you know. Oh, a bunch of you. How nice. That's excellent. I don't think this building was actually designed to accommodate that office. As nice as it is. In the early 1900s, there was a parsonage, no doubt, where the minister met with congregants. And I can't remember when, but at some point over the course of the 20th century, it was sold. For many years, the congregation was so small that the minister only preached on Sundays, so the need for an office was probably minimal. But here we are, with new numbers and new needs, with the blessings of community name, community life to name and share, with bold mischief to make, with failure to embrace and a place to call home. We are here all together. So the office space you have adapted is actually more than adequate. But my point is that church is different these days than it has been in the past, and not just our space needs, our physical needs. Church is not the default mode it once was. And we find that we need our spaces to address different needs and to serve us in new ways. I want to tell you that we have submitted a proposal for a project of this church, an idea that I've shared with you before, but that your leadership and I are investing more inquiring energy into. It is how to use our space as a gathering place, a community center, a place to share our Unitarian Universalist values beyond our existence as a church, yet focusing still on the areas that are so important already to us. We are seeking funds to develop a plan for the Parker Center for Spirit, Justice, and Arts. Some enthusiasm. So the funds we hope to receive would not guarantee its existence. This is the decision that you as a community must vote for together. But the funds will allow us to explore the idea of how to be ready to invite the community at large to join us in learning and experiencing and growing a sense of prophetic witness and engagement, and not only on Sunday mornings. The idea is to build a bridge from one side of our history to the next, lest a wall of resistance become our defiant response. Whether we like it or not, this time is one of profound change in our world. We know that, and we must respond to that. We can't only be a place of Sunday gathering, even as we value this time so much. I served a congregation previously that was striving to get, it thought, to 50 members. And then, said one leader, we'll have enough money to survive if we just get to 50. But if you believe you have something to offer, I asked, what will you tell number 51? Thanks, we have enough. We're good. Can you imagine a refreshed and accessible parish hall with events and activities and classes all week long, with regular concerts in our sanctuary, and more life celebrations as well? Can you imagine the voices of people making plans to gather at the Parker Center for this or that, a chance to learn about justice making, or having family art classes, or varieties of singing groups, events that celebrate the life of the Spirit as we do here on Sunday morning? Can you imagine?
Yes.
If you are new or visiting today, you may not know, although I imagine that by this point in the service, you do know that March has been our pledge drive month. A focus on our dreams to gather and grow in spirit, in service, and in joy. And if you have already pledged, as our co-chair said, we are so grateful. And if you have not had a chance to, please feel invited again. Your support is our lifeblood, and it is a bridge to the future. But we also know it cannot be our only bridge. The way we fund our churches, like so many things about faith community life, is changing, and we must build new bridges to help sustain us for the long haul. Not that our pledging will ever not be needed, mind you. But we are hoping this grant from the UU funding program will help us respond creatively and adaptively and proactively on behalf of the world we want to keep building right here in West Roxbury. We are not a large, affluent crew here, though some of us have means. We are a small and proudly growing progressive community in the midst of a fairly conservative corner of Boston. Mind you, there's nothing wrong with small church. If we were in a small town with limited numbers, then small would be the name of the game. But if we believe in who we are and what we have to offer this world, then we must not limit the number of those who we would welcome into our doors. When I came here 5 years ago, our numbers showed more strongly, they sort of leaned more strongly towards those with a few more years under their belts. We now joyfully welcome more youthful sounds among us. We were a somewhat hidden gem, I think, whose voice is now reaching out more broadly. We are making relationships and connections. Only yesterday, a group of us joining with others to learn about gang violence in Boston, which is a conversation we will continue to participate in. Our capacity is only bound by the limits of our imaginations. My hope is that we will act boldly together to build the bridge that many will cross over. I have been rereading a book called Soul Work, Anti-Racist Theologies in Dialogue. It was published in 2003, and it engages many voices from within our Unitarian Universalist world, among them theologian Paul Raiser. Liberals want to create a strong and inclusive community, he says, but we often want to do it without giving up anything, without letting down the barriers we erect around ourselves in the name of individual autonomy. I think we can be bolder than that here. I think we have much to offer and much to be gained by opening our doors more widely, by creating a place that represents who we want to be in the world and invites others to join us. We just have to be brave enough to risk a new bridge and to move beyond accepting the need to embracing the challenge. That's all. I'm glad that you're not shocked that it's more. As with the in and out of our breath, to begin now to live like we mean it, to see with new eyes the life that is already and always available, to respond to this gift with wonder and gratitude, to join in this partnership, to tend this flame, and when it breaks our heart, to keep showing up, to go with courage into this dawning day. Our very own bridge to somewhere new. Let's journey there together, friends.